Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is the last daf of Maseches Eruvin. That's Eruvin daf Kofei. For those on the Zoom, it's Alicia Graf. I apologize for the bait and switch. The rabbi had a conflict arise, so he couldn't make it to the shir today. So this is the first opportunity that I have to cover the shir on a weekday since Maseches Brachas from before Corona. So there have been a couple of constants through the through this era. The first is the rabbi giving the Daf Yomi Shir every day, remarkably, even through his own illness. The second is one of the sponsors today. We have four today, and Shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. That's also been a constant from way before Corona, but even through Corona. So we thank Dr. Landerer very, very much for the sponsorship. Today's Shir is also sponsored by the Sober and the Ehrlich families in honor of completing Maseches Eruvin and starting Pesachim tomorrow, God willing, and also in his chus of Refuah Shleima for Chaim Yoshua ben Hendel, who should have Refuah Shleima with his chus, all the learning. Special mazel tov to my good friend Beirut Sober, who's being Messiah Maseches Eruvin today. Shir is also sponsored by Rabbi Usher and Jessica Klein in honor of their wonderful brother-in-law Yossi Mozak, who's finishing Shas today. So Shkoyach for the sponsorship, hearty mazel tov Yossi on this very momentous occasion and wonderful accomplishment. And it's also sponsored by Ron Markovitz as a mazel tov to the entire Daf Yomi Chevra on our collective Siyam of Maseches Eruvin. And we thank Ron very much for the sponsorship as well. So today is a... They don't see me. Do they hear me? I see myself. Oh, unmute. Can you guys see and hear me now?
I hear you. Let me see.
Okay, my apologies. All you guys missed was the sponsorships. We have a couple of people in the shul. We have a bunch of people in the shul finishing Maseches Eruvin. We have somebody who's completing Shas today. So again, thank you to all of the sponsors. Mazel tov to all those who are about to complete the Masechta, and a special mazel tov to Yossi Mozak, who's about to complete Shas. So anyway, with that, and again, I apologize also for the bait and switch. This is obviously not Rabbi Leibowitz. He would never come to deliver a Daf Yomi Shir dressed like this. It's Alicia Graf. The rabbi is away. He had a conflict arise, so he asked me to cover, and of course I agreed. It's been a while since I had the opportunity to learn with the Chevra. So we left off yesterday at the Mishnah on Kuv Dalid Amud Beis, and today's daf, which is really one Amud, today's daf is going to cover essentially one topic. It's going to cover a situation in which you find a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. So a sheretz is obviously tamei. We know that you're not allowed to have anything that's tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the appropriate method for removing the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash? And we're going to see that the halacha is going to apply on Shabbos, but it's also going to really involve a broader machlokas as to how to treat Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash when you want to get rid of it. Is it best to get rid of it most quickly, or is it best to try to find a way to get rid of it that might take a little bit longer, but it will eventually minimize the amount of Tumah that is being caused? So we're going to talk about minimizing the amount of Tumah. We're going to talk about perhaps removing the sheretz with people who have fewer restrictions and limitations against becoming Tamei. So that's going to be the bulk of today's shiur. And at the very end, we're going to discuss a comment that's made in the end of the Mishnah, which basically tells us, Maimer of Rav Shimon, who makes a cryptic comment to the Mishnah, which we'll see that basically whenever the Chachamim said that anything is mutter in Maseches Eruvin, they basically gave you what's yours. So the Gemara is going to talk about what in the world does the Gemara mean? What in the world does the Mishnah mean, rather, when Rav Shimon says that in Maseches Eruvin, when the Chachamim were mutter something, they just gave you what's yours. So again, the rabbi left off yesterday at the Mishnah. That's where we will begin from. So the Mishnah Kuv Dalad Amud Beis says as follows. Sheretz shenitma b'mikdash. If you have a sheretz which is in the Beis HaMikdash, and Rashi says that we are talking about where the sheretz was there in the Mikdash on Shabbos. Now, what do we know about a sheretz? A sheretz obviously is mukta, because the only thing that you're allowed to use on Shabbos is something that has a designated use on Shabbos. Obviously, there is no designated use for the sheretz, and so the problem is you have a sheretz in the Mikdash. The sheretz is not allowed to be there because the sheretz is tamei. You're not allowed to be matame the Beis HaMikdash. There can't be anything tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you need to get it out of there. The problem is that it's muksa. Now, we know that we weren't gozar misum shvus in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, if there is a way to get the Sheretz out of there without violating any Yisuri Deraisa, only by violating Yisuri Derabanan, then we're going to be able to remove the Sheretz without a problem. So says the Mishnah, you have a Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi again says we're talking about on Shabbos. The Marshal points out this halacha may apply to Shabbos, but it also applies the rest of the week as well. This is a general halacha. Sheretz shenitma b'mikdash, kohen motziyo b'himyano, the kohen should take the sheretz out with his avnet, with his gartel. Shelo lahashos esatuma, divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka shita is, that the kohen should just scoop up the sheretz with the gartel and remove the sheretz that way, and that way you will not prolong the existence of tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. And why is this a good way of taking out the Sheretz? So explains Rashi. It's a long Rashi. We don't have to read it inside. But Rashi basically says that if the Kohen takes the Sheretz out by scooping it up with his Avnet and removing the Sheretz that way, then you've succeeded in getting the Sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash most quickly. And we're not afraid that the Kohen himself is going to become Tameh. Why? Because if the sheretz touches the avnet, then the avnet becomes a rishon l'tumah, and we know that a person can only become tameh from an avhatumah. So better that you already have the sheretz, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. The sheretz is tameh. So says the Tanna Kamma, better that you be metameh the avnet, that you make the avnet tameh as well, so you get the sheretz out of there as quickly as possible. And we're not afraid that the Avnet is then going to turn around and make the Kohen Tameh, which is a whole other problem, because the Avnet only becomes a Rishon L'Tameh, can't turn around and be Metameh the Kohen, because a person can only become Tameh from an Avatumah. Great. So that's Rav Yochanan Broka's Shita, that the quickest way to get it out of there, because the Kohen is always wearing his Avnet, just scoop up the Sheretz with the Avnet and chuck the Sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash that way. Says Rav Yehuda Amar, no, but Savas shall eats. That you have to find a pair of wooden tongs, and you basically have to grab the sheretz with those wooden tongs, and then throw the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash using those wooden tongs. Why? Because that's what's Rav Yehuda's principle. Shelo lerbos es atuma. Because Rav Yehuda's principle is that we don't want to increase the number of items that we're making tameh. Now, if you take the sheretz out with the wooden tongs, why wouldn't they become tameh? So the answer is because this is pshutei kli eitz. The only type of kli eitz that becomes tameh is a kli that has a base kibble. It's a kli that also serves as a receptacle. These wooden tongs don't have a place that serves as a receptacle, and therefore the tongs themselves are not going to become tameh. So what are you sacrificing according to Rav Yehuda? You're sacrificing time, because unlike the avnet, which the kohen is always wearing, so the second he sees the sheretz, he could scoop it up with the avnet and he could chuck the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash. In order to find the wooden tongs, he's going to have to delay. He's going to have to leave the sheretz there for longer. But Rav Yehuda says, better that you leave the sheretz there for a longer period of time than that you be metameh the other article of clothing, than that you be metameh the avnet. Okay, says now the next part of the Mishnah. Now, mehechan motzien. So where do you take the sheretz out from? So where in the Beis HaMikdash complex does the sheretz have to be in order for it to be a problem? And specifically, if you learn like Rashi, that we're talking about where this happened on Shabbos, so in order to permit you to violate the Shvus and get the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash, where exactly in the Beis HaMikdash complex does this sheretz have to be found? Says the Mishnah, mina heichal umina ulam, from the heichal, or from the ulam, from the antechamber, ume beina ulam, ulam is beach, divrei Reb Shimon ben Nanas. So Reb Shimon ben Nanas says that you could take the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash using one of these two prescribed methods, if it's found in the heichal, the ulam, or between the ulam and the mizbeach. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kol makom shechayavin. So basically, what's important from Rav Shimon ben Nanas' Hashita is that you have to take it out, or you're allowed to take it out from all these places, but if it's in the regular Azara, you're not allowed to take it out from the regular Azara. But then Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, kol makom shechayavin al zdono kareis val shegagaso chatas, Misham motzi yenoso, that any place where basically there's an iser tuma, there's an iser to come into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tame, or there's an iser to be metame, the Beis HaMikdash, which includes even the azara, that's where you're allowed to take it out from. Vishar kalamakomos, and if you find it in any other place, so what's any other place? So according to Benanas, the any other place means the azara. So if you find it in one of the holy places, then you're allowed to get it out of there on Shabbos. If you find it only in the Azara, then you should do the following. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's if you find it even in the Azara, you have to get it out, or you could get it out on Shabbos. But if you find it in the other cases, in the other places rather, and Rashi says that according to Rabbi Akiva, the other places would be the Lishkos, those little storage rooms that are on the side of the Azara. So if you find it in these other places where there's not such a severe level, there's not such a strict level of Kedusha, and therefore there's not such a severe level of Isser to introduce something that's Tamei there, so there's no reason to violate the Shavuos by chucking the Sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So what do? Kofen alav psachter. You cover it with a kli. You cover it with a copper pot, and you wait until after nightfall, and then you could get the Sheretz out of there after nightfall. Okay, now the final part of the Mishnah. Reb Shimon Omer, makom sher tiru lecha chachamim mishalcha nosnu lecha. Any place where the chachamim were matir, for you, they only gave you what's yours. Shlowi tira lecha ela misham shvus, because they were only matir something that was a shvus. So again, this is super cryptic. The Gemara all the way at the end of the daf, at the end of the Masechta, is going to tell us what in the world Rabbi Shimon is talking about. So says the Gemara now. So again, we're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which spoke about the sheretz, which is tamei, which you find in the Beis HaMikdash, how you get it out. So says the Gemara as follows: Amar Rav Tevi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel Hamachnis Tamei Sheretz LeMikdash. If a person brings something which is Tamei with Tumat Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, then Chayev, then he's going to be Chayev. But paradoxically, Sheretz Atzmo Potter. But if he brings a Sheretz itself into the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to be Potter. So says the Gemara, whoa, how in the world could that be? If you bring something that's Tomei with a Tumah Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be Chayiv. But if you bring the Sheretz, the source of the Tumah itself, into the Beis HaMikdash, then you're going to be Potter. So my timer, so what's the reason for this? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says as follows. Mizachar vad nekeva tishalchu. So the Pasuk says about people who come into the Beis HaMikdash when they're Tomei, that you have to send them out Zachar and Nekeva. So what do we learn from here? Mi sheyesh lo tara b'mikvah, yatsa sheretz she'ein lo tahara. That the only time you're chayev is if you bring something that's tamei in, that has the capacity to become tahar. Like a person who's tamei has the capacity to become tar. If you bring regular kalim into the Beis HaMikdash when they're tamei, you're going to be chayev because those kalim have the capacity to become tar through tvila in a mikvah. We'll see in a minute, except for klei cheres, and the Gemara is going to deal with that. However, if you bring a sheretz, you're not going to be chayev. Why? Because again, you're only chayev if you bring something in that has the ability to become tar. The sheretz is always tamei. As we know, atovel b'sheretz v'yado, if you're tovel and you're holding a sheretz, the tefillah is not a good tefillah, so the sheretz is always tamei, and therefore, you're going to be potter if you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara as follows. The Gemara brings a raya. Salema misayele. So the Gemara brings a raya to the shita. Mizachar ad nekeva tishalchu. It says mizachar ad nekeva tishalchu. Prat lekli cheres. Divrei Rav Yosi Agalili. So it comes to exclude from this iser a person who brings into the Beis HaMikdash a klei cheres, which is tamei. So isn't it the same reason, says the Gemara? My time lav mishum delesle tara b'mikva. Isn't it because that the only way you are going to be chayiv is if you bring something that's tamei in, but it has the ability to be matar in the mikvah? So what do we know about a klei cheres? Klei cheres doesn't have tar in the mikvah. If a klei cheres becomes tamei, the only way to fix it, the only way to be metakin it, is to smash it. You have to break it. So just like the sheretz itself doesn't have the ability to become tar, so too the klei cheres doesn't have the ability to become tar. Turns out, if you can't be matar the klei cheres, you're going to be potter if you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash when it's tamei. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the reason why you're not chayev if you bring in the tamei klei cheres. What is then the reason that you're not chayev? Says the Gemara as follows, Misha nase avatuma, because the only time you're going to be chayiv is if the thing that you bring into the Beis HaMikdash when it's tamei has the ability to become an avatuma. Yotza klei cheres she'ina nase avatuma. It comes to exclude a klei cheres which cannot become and which doesn't have an avatuma. It can't become an avatuma. So why can't it become an avatuma? So says Rashi. There's a long Rashi over here again. So we get a little taharas here at the end of the Masechta. So Rashi explains that who could become an avatuma? Obviously, a person can become an avatuma, because if a person becomes tamei meis, if a person is a zav or a zava, they're an avatuma. Says Rashi, also some kalim can become an avatuma. And the way a kli can become an avatuma is the kli can become an avatuma if the zav uses it, if the zav sits on it or leans on it. So in other words, if it can become tamei medris, in that way, and if it becomes Tomei Medrash, it's then going to be an avatoma. However, what do we know about a Klei Cheres? A Klei Cheres is like a brittle type of, earthenware kli. A Zav or a Zava would never sit on a Klei Cheres. And therefore, the Klei Cheres can't become Tomei Medrash, because the Klei Cheres can't become Tomei Medrash is a type of kli that doesn't have an av, that can never become tamei with an avatuma. We also know that if a kli touches a mace, then it also becomes tamei with an avatuma. And says Rashi that they were never gozer this type, and he brings you throughout Shas and the Torah Shabbat Chav as well, that we never find that we were gozer an avatuma on a klei cheres when the klei cheres touches a mace. So even though a regular kli, if it touches a mace, it's going to become tamei with an avatoma, klei cheres is the exception, and that's why when you bring the klei cheres that's tamei into the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to be chayiv. It's not because it doesn't have tahara, it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with because it cannot become an avatoma, and you're chayiv for bringing something that's tamei in only if it's like a person, in that it can become tamei with an avatuma. Klei cheres can't become tamei with an avatuma, therefore you're going to be pater if you bring the tamei klei cheres into the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara now as follows. So lema ketanoi. So let's say it's like the following machlokas tanon. Sheretz shenimtza b'mikdash. If we have a sheretz which is in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Sheretz is in the Beis HaMikdash. A sheretz is tamei, can't be in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously. Koi motziyo b'myano shelo lahashos as shelo lishos as atumah divrei Rabbi Yochanan Mabroka. So the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Mabroka, which we saw in our Mishnah, was that the kohen has to react quickly. The kohen has to scoop it up with his avnet, with his gartel, and then the kohen has to get the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash ASAP. He has to get it out as soon as possible. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'tzava shaleis motziyo, no, you could go search for the wooden tongs and then take it out with the wooden tongs. Shelo lirbos es hatoma, so that you don't make more things tamei, because if you take it out with a gartel, you're going to make the gartel tamei. If you take it out with the wooden tongs aren't going to become tamei anyway, because they're pshute kliyates, they're not going to become tamei. So isn't this the machlokas here? So my lav baka miflagi. Demand yamar shelo lashos. The Rav Yochanan Mabroko says that the key is not delaying, the key is getting the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash right away. Ksavar hamachnis sheretz b'mikdash chayiv. He holds that if you bring a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you are chayiv. Therefore, calls man that the sheretz is there in the Beis HaMikdash, you're violating an isser. So if you're violating an isser for each second that the sheretz is remaining in the Beis HaMikdash, oh, now I understand why we're going to tell the Kohen, quick, go take it out with your gartel, even though you're going to make the gartel tamei, and we don't want to be marbetuma. The key is we got to get that sheretz out of there, because it's an isser every second the sheretz is there. Uman di amar shelo larbos, and according to the other shita, Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, who says that the key is not how long the sheretz is there, but that we shouldn't be marba, we shouldn't increase tuma, ksavar amachne sheretz lemikdash, potter. Hillel, that amachne sheretz lemikdash is potter. So if you're going to be potter for bringing the sheretz in anyway, it'll turn out that there's not an isser every second that the sheretz is there. And therefore, if there's not an emergency, if you're not violating an isser every second the sheretz is there, we're less concerned with the triage and getting the sheretz out of there quickly, and we're more concerned with not being metame other things. So isn't that the machlokas in our Mishnah, where the Tanakhama says that there is an Isser to bring a Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Yehuda says there is no Isser to bring the Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, lo, not the explanation of our Mishnah. The Kuli Alma Chayev, everybody agrees. Both Mand Yamrim and our Mishnah agree that if you bring a Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you are going to be Chayev. And this is what they're arguing about. Mar Savar Shuye Tuma Adif. One says that it's better to leave it there, that it's better to leave it there and not be metame other things. Umar Savar Afushe Tuma Adif. And the other says, no, it's better to spread the Tuma, but just get it out much more quickly. So the Gemara says that in the end, no, they're not arguing about whether it's mutter or usser to bring the Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody agrees that it's usser to have the Sheretz there. The only problem is, great, it's usser, but now it's there. So what do you do? So is it better to get it out more quickly but expand the Tuma, or is it better to at least leave the Tuma self-contained and leave it there for a little bit of a shorter time, but not be metame other things in the aim of getting the Sheretz out of there? So says the Gemara, if our Mishnah is arguing, if the Tanoim and our Mishnah are arguing about something, what are they arguing about? Ela kahani tanoi. But they're arguing like the following tanoim. The tanan, mehecha motziyin oso. We saw in the Mishnah also, the machlokas, where does the sheretz have to be in order for you to have to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash? Where Benana said that you only take it out from the hechel, or the ulam, or mebeina ulam lemezbeach. And then we had the shita of Rabbi Kiva, who said that you even take it out from the azara. So says the Gemara, my lava kamiflagi. Demand the Amar Meazora lo, Xavra Machna Sheretz Lamikdash Potter. Rabbi Akivu says that you don't have to take the Sheretz out from the Azara if you find it in the Azara. He'll say that if you bring the Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be Potter. And therefore, if it's in the Azara, it's not a problem. Umand the Amar Mekula Meazara, Mekula Azara, so Bananas, who says that you don't take it out of the Azara, will say that a Machna Sheretz Lamikdash is going to be Potter. Umand the Amar Mekula Azara, and Rabbi Akiva says that you even have to take the Sheretz out from the Azara, Ksavar Chayiv. So maybe he'll say that Amachnas Sheretz Lamikdash is going to be Chayiv. So the machlokas of whether you have to take the Sheretz out of the Azara turns on whether there's an Isser for the Sheretz to be there. If you hold there's an Isser for the Sheretz to be there, of course you have to take it out. If you hold there's no Isser for the Sheretz to be there, then it makes sense you don't have to take it out. Says the Gemara, now turning to Kuf Hei, Amad Aleph, so Amar Rav Yochanan Vishnei Mikra Echa Darshu. They both darshan from the same pasuk, and this is a pasuk that's in Divrei Hayamim. This pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah, which was in the Beis HaMikdash, and Avodah Zarah, like a Sheretz, is also Metameh, it's also Tameh, and Rashi says the Avodah Zarah is Metameh Ba'oel. So when they found the Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, it was Metameh Ba'oel, the Beis HaMikdash is a building, they had to get the Avodah Zarah out of the Beis HaMikdash. So what did they do? So it says the Gemara, bringing down from the Pasuk, it says, Vayavo Kohanim Lefnima Beis HaShem Letayr, and the Kohanim went into the Beis HaMikdash to be metare, to clear out all the Avodah Zarah, the Yetziu as Kol HaToma, and they brought out all of the Toma, they brought out all of the Avodah Zarah, Asher Motzu Be'echal Hashem, that they found in the Heichal, the Chatzar Beis Hashem, they brought it out to the Azara, and then the Kiblu HaLeviim, Lahotzi Lenachal Kidron Chutza. So then the Leviim took it out to Nachal Kidron. So if you're paying attention in the Pasuk, what happened is the Kohanim went all the way into the Beis HaMikdash. They took it out from the Heichal into the Azara. They then swapped out. The Leviim then picked out the Avodah Zarah, and the Leviim took everything out of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to focus on how exactly they arrived at this division of labor. So why they switched from the Kohanim to the Leviim. So says the Gemara, Mar Savar Medishtani Ba'azara B'Leviim Tuma B'Azara Leka. That from the fact that the Leviim took over, and the Kohanim weren't further metame themselves to get the Avodah Zarah out of the Azara, we see that there is no issue of Tuma in the Azara. Why? Because if there was a real issue of Tuma in the Azara, the Kohanim were already carrying the Avodah Zarah. They just should have taken it right out. They shouldn't have waited to put it down and have the Leviim come and swap out like a tag team and then have the Leviim take it out of the Beis HaMikdash. They would have just gotten it right out of the Azara. So obviously, because they switched, it shows that there is no Isser to have the Tuma in the Azara. And therefore, what do you do if on Shabbos there's a Seferis in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's in the Azara? Do you take it out? No, you don't take it out, because it's not. There's no Isser for it to be there. There's no Isser for it to be there altogether. Therefore, what you would do is you would be Kofel HaKli. So according to that, so maybe that's why they switched. Umar Savar, the other Mandi Amar, says, no, there's no Rai over here that Tumah's Mutter in the Azara. It's Ad Hecha Delo Efshar B'Leviim Mafke Kahanim. Hashta de Efshar B'Leviim Sula Matame Kahanim. That so long as the Leviim were able to do the avoda of taking the avodah zarah out of the Beis HaMikdash, we would let the Leviim do it rather than having the Kohanim be metame themselves. As an Isser for a Kohen to be metame himself. And therefore, as soon as the Leviim were in a position where they were able to take over, they did take over. So where was the Avodah Zarah initially? The Avodah Zarah was in the Heichal. The only person who's allowed to go into the Heichal, the Kohanim, when they do the Avodah. So the Leviim couldn't go into the Heichal to get the Avodah Zarah. So the Kohanim went into the Heichal, they got the Avodah Zarah. They brought it out to the Azara, the Leviim were mutter to be in the Azara. So now that the Leviim were mutter to be there, we have the Leviim take over so that the Kohanim shouldn't prolong their state of Tumah. It's got nothing to do with whether there's an Isser of Tumah in the Azara or not. It all has to do with the practical effect of how far into the Beis HaMikdash the Leviim are allowed to go. Says the Gemara now weiter. Tanu Rabbanan. Hakol Nechnasim Beheichal. Once we talk about the Leviim being able to be in the Azara, but not in the Heichal, the Gemara is going to bring down. It's sort of bothered by a practical question. Okay, so we know that the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha. There was a Heichal. The Heichal also had to be built. So how are the people, how are you making repairs to the Heichal? How are you building the Heichal? You have a Kohen contractor, so what do you do? So it says the Gemara like this. So Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Nechnasim Beheichal Livnos Litakein Ulohotzi Esatuma. Anybody is allowed to go into the Heichal, either to build it, to fix it, to get Tumah out of there. Umitzvah b'kohanim. But yes, you should try, if you have a Kohen who is capable of doing the repair or doing the work that needs to be done, better that the Kohen do it rather than that anybody else do it. Emein sham kohanim, if there is no Kohen, nichnasim leviim, then the next in line should go, then the leviim should go. Emein sham leviim, if there is no levi, nichnasim yisraelim, then you could give it to a regular Yisrael to go into the Heichal for this specific purpose of either removing Tumah or building or making repairs. V'idi tahorin in tamein lo. However, all of these people who are able to go in, they should always be tar, they should never be tameh. So it would come out, according to this shita, that if you have a kohen who's tameh, or a Yisrael who's tar, better that the Yisrael who's tar go into the Heichal in order to do the repairs, rather than the kohen who is tameh. So that's the first shita. However, now we have another shita. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Kahana, Misayeya Kahani. Rav Kahana, who was a Kohen, was Messiah to the Kohanim. He gave the Kohanim a solid. He did the Kohanim a solid by basically elevating them in this hierarchy. The Tani Rav Kahana, Mitok Shanemar, Achel Aparochas, Lo Yavo, Lo Yacho, Lo Ye Kohanim Balimum, Neknosim, Enulam Lemesbeach, Lassus Rukui Pachim. I might think that because it says that a Baal Mum is not allowed to do the Avodah, that a Baal Mum is also not allowed to go between the Ulam and the Mizbeach in order to make the Rukwe Pachim, in order to make the gold plating that was in the Beis HaMikdash, which was a form of construction that they would make these gold plated panels. Tamalomar Ach Chalak. That it says Ach Chalak. In other words, that the only Isser is for the Kohen who's a Baal Mum to do the Avodah. But the Kohen who's a Baal Mum is allowed back there in order to actually do this construction work. Says the Gemara, mitzvah b'tmimim. There's a mitzvah for tmimim, in other words, non-bali mumim, to do this work. Emein shan tmimim nechnasim bali mumim. If there is no tumim, though, then it's possible for even a balmum to go in and do this work. Mitzvah b'tahorin, it's a mitzvah to do this work with tar individuals. Ein shan tahorin nechnasim tmeim. If there are no tar individuals, then you can have a tame person also go bein ulam mizbeach to make the rukwe pachim. And idi v'idi, and here's Rav Kahana being misayet to the Kohanim, idi v'idi Kohanim in Yisraelim lo. And in any case, it's better that it be done with a Kohen than any type of Yisrael. So whereas the first Mandi Amar that we saw said that better to have a Yisrael who's tar than a Kohen who's tameh, Rav Kahana says, no, we place primacy on the fact that the guy who's doing the work should be a Kohen. So better that the guy be a Kohen Tamei than a Yisrael Tar. So that's Rav Kahana helping out the Kohanim. So now the Gemara is going to pick up on the following. We had brought down two different types of people who are puzzled to do the avoda and really shouldn't be there at all, who initially, or ideally I should say, they shouldn't be there, but in a pinch, you're allowed to have them go back to do the avoda. We had spoken about tamimim versus balei mumim. We had spoken about tahorim versus tamayim. So ideally we try with a tamim. If not, then we could do a balei mum. Ideally we try with a tahor. If not, we could do it with somebody who's tamei. So the question is, what happens if now you have either your choice between a balei mum and somebody who's tamei? So there is no tahor tamim kohen. There's either a balei mum or there's a tamei. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, tamei ubalei mum. So if you have a tamei and a balei mum, so eze mehem nichnas. Which one of them should go in to do this work? So Rav Chiya Barashi Yamar Rav Tamei Nichnas, the Ishtri Bavoda Sibur, the Tamei one should go in because he's kosher li'avoda. What do you mean he's kosher li'avoda? We said that a Kohen who's Tamei can't do the Avoda. So the answer is, if Rove of the Kohanim are Tamei, then he's allowed to do the Avoda because there's this concept of either Tumah Hutra B'tzibur or Tumah D'chuyah B'tzibur, but there are circumstances in which we're willing to override and overlook the general prohibition against somebody who's Tamei doing the Avoda in certain circumstances, and therefore he's not as strictly ineligible as a Balei Mum, and therefore this Kohen who's Tamei should go in and he should do this construction work. However, Rav Elazar Omer Balei Mum Nichnas to Ishtri Bachilas Kochim. No, the Balei Mum should go in because the Balei Mum at least has some sort of shaychus to something that Kohanim do, that even though the Balei Mum can't do the avoda, the Balei Mum is still mutter to eat kochim, and therefore it's not as if he's totally sidelined. It's not as if he's totally sidelined there, and therefore it should be the Kohen who's a Balei Mum who should go in to do the avoda. So says the Gemara now weiter. So now finishing up the Masechta with the last line in the Mishnah. So Rav Shimon had said that wherever the Chachamim gave you a heter, they gave you only what's yours because they were only matir shvus, and it was very confusing what exactly Rav Shimon meant with his line in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara like this: Rav Shimon Eicha Koi. So what's Rav Shimon talking about even? So says the Gemara Hasam Koi. He's talking about a case that we had a while ago. Ditnan Misha Hechshech Chutz L'Tchum. Let's say a guy's residence is in a city, and right before Shabbos, he finds himself, it's Erev Shabbos, he's trying to get back to the city, he's trying to get back within the tchum of the city, so he can then roam freely within his tchum. But come Shabbos, and he's just outside his tchum, so he's stuck, because he's not within his tchum, he only has his four amas, right? So says the Gemara, not so fast, so mishech shechut l'tchum, afilu ama achas lo yikones. Tanakama says, Taka, if you're outside the tchum, even by one ama, you can't go into your tchum, because it already is Shabbos, and you're outside your tchum. Rav Shimon Omer, afilu chomesh esrei ama yikones, that even if you're up to 15 amos outside your tchum, and Shabbos falls, you're still allowed to enter your tchum and go all the way back to the city. You're allowed to go all the way back home. Why? Because the people who would measure the tchum wouldn't measure the tchum exactly, because there were always people who make mistakes. In other words, what's Rav Shimon saying? Rav Shimon is saying that when they would have a city, and they would have the 2,000 amma marker outside the city showing where the Tchum Shabbos is, the Tchum Shabbos marker wasn't actually 2,000 ammas from the city, it was only 1,985 ammas from the city. Because they left a little buffer, because they knew that not everybody was an expert in the measurements, and they didn't want people to go outside the Tchum. So they figured, if you put a marker a little bit inside the tchum, then even if, God forbid, somebody goes one amma, two amma, five, 10 ammas past that marker, they're still not going to have violated the tchum on Shabbos. So Rav Shimon said that a little trick, a pro tip, is that the tchum is actually not the tchum. You actually have a little bit of leeway. So it turns out that if it's Erev Shabbos and you're coming from the other direction, if it's Erev Shabbos and you're right outside where the tchum marker is, you're actually in your tchum, because your tchum begins 15 ammas on the other side. So that's what Rav Shimon is going on. And Rav Shimon says you could enter. Ah, so it turns out that in the Mishnah, when it said Rav Shimon Omer Mokom Shetir Lecha Chachamim, in the situation where the Chachamim were matir, meaning they allowed you to continue all the way to your house, Mishalcha Nasnu Lecha, they only gave you what's already yours. What does it mean that they already gave you what's already yours? Because you thought you were outside the tchum and they were making a special kula in order to let you go in. But it's not true. They were giving you what's already yours. It was already in your tchum. Ah, you're outside the tchum. Sure, because they put the marker a little bit earlier to make sure that nobody makes a mistake. That's what Rav Shimon was talking about. But he said the second thing. He also said, Shelo etiru lecha chachamim, Shelo etiru lecha ela mishum shvus. What does that mean? So says the Gemara, Shelo etiru lecha ela mishum shvus, hecha koi, what's that one going on? Says the Gemara, hasam koi. It's going on the following. The Kamar Tanakama, because we saw the machlokas koshra, we saw by the string of the harp that breaks, we saw machlokas whether you can tie it on Shabbos, with the real Kesher Shel Kayama, which is a Malacha Doraisa, or whether you had to tie it with a bow. V'yarmale Rav Shimon Onva. And Rav Shimon says, no, you can't tie it with a Kesher Shel Kayama because that would be an Isser Doraisa. What you have to do is you have to tie it with a bow, because if it's with a bow, at worst, it's only going to be a shvus. It's only going to be an iser midrabanan. So, v'amar le'Rav Shimon onva aniva, you should tie it with a bow. Lo asi le'deichi of chatos, so that you won't come to a situation of chi of chatos. So, shari le'rabanan kshira does le'deichi of chatos. So, aniva lo asi le'deichi of chatos shari le'rabanan. So, aniva, which is not going to come to a chi of chatos, the rabbanan were matir. Kshira, the also ledev chi of chatas, lo shari le rabbanan. However, kshira, which might come to a chi of chatas, the rabbanan were not going to be so makel over here. So it says, so if you look in Tosfos over here, the last Tosfos in the Masechta says, Amar Rav Shimon Yikanez, Vachi Karmele Rav Shimon Latanakama. Afal pi shemekel ani b'machshich chutz l'tchum, machmer ani b'ni maskinor. Tosfos is saying that Rav Shimon's shita doesn't appear to be consistent, because by the guy who's stuck outside the tchum, he's the makel. He says the guy could go all the way into his house. By the kinor that breaks in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, where you have to repair it, Rav Shimon is the machmer, because the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to tie it with a Kesher Shel Kayama, and Rav Shimon says, no, you have to tie it with a bow. So Rav Shimon is machmer in the case of kinor. Why? So says the Gemara, says Tosfos rather, Da'asam lav kulahu ela mishal chanos nilucha. Don't assume that Rav Shimon is being makil by the case of tchum. It's not a kula. It's like what we said earlier. You're simply not really outside your tchum. You're really inside your tchum. V'gam kan lo nosten l'cho ela mishalcha d'haynu aniva d'avdavar amutar. And the reason also by the kinar, by the snap, by the string that snapped in the kinar, when we say that you are allowed to tie it, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to tie it in a way that's usur. It means that you're allowed to tie it only in a way that's mutter. Why? Because the only thing that they were matir was shvus, which is only something that's usur midrabanan, but not something that's usur midaraisa. Tosfos now says, v'hada notar ad hacha, mishum deboy lasupi mili de b'mikdash avalo b'medina. Why is Rav Shimon's statement appearing here, says Tosfos, all the way at the end of the Masechta? So he says, why did we learn this whole perek? Or most of the perek was focused on things that you're allowed to do in the Mikdash, but you're not allowed to do them in the Medina. And the theme running through all of these Mishnayos, the things that you're allowed to do in the Mikdash, but not in the Medina, was that in the Mikdash, lo gozrum mishum shvus, that they weren't gozrum mishum shvus, meaning that you're allowed to violate the Isurim midrabanan. And now, at the end of this series of Mishnayos, Rav Shimon says that you should know the only reason why we make all these dispensations is because all these things are only asur midrabanan. So what's Rabbanan? I'm going to let you get away with in the Mikdash, but I'm not going to let you get away with violating any Isurei Daraisa. The Marsha says that the Maimer of Rav Shimon is brought down here because it's really shayich to the entire Masechta, because a person could learn the entire Masechta and he could think of how many kulos there are legabe Hilchas Erevin. Like we had the kulos of Pasi Biros with the little sticks that are around the well and you're allowed to draw the well and love and a good asik. So there were so many kulos that the Chachamim have, and it's a little difficult to comprehend. And says Rav Shimon at the end of the Masechta that the reason why we were makil in all of these manners by Erevin is because all of these are only dinim midrabanan. However, if they were dinim midaraisa, we wouldn't have the power, we wouldn't have the ability to be makil. That's why Rav Shimon neatly wraps up and summarizes the whole Masechta. Whatever kula, it's only because it's only an iser midrabanan. Either in the Perek, as the Tosfos explains, or in the Marsha's explanation, it applies even broader to the entire Masechta. So Adron Alecha Motzi Tfilim Sichlas Masechas Erevin. So mazel tov to everybody who completed Erevin today. The rabbi will be back tomorrow morning to start us off on Masechas Pesachim, which coincidentally actually is concluded the week preceding Pesach. So we'll see everybody on the Zoom and online and in person, God willing, tomorrow morning. Pleasure. Take care, everybody. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Take care. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks very much.